Road in Urbandale.
Keith Murphy.
This is a big, hairy American winning machine.
And he fails.
I got a guy on the other line about some white walls. I'll talk to you later.
It's the Murphy and Andy Show.
It's a three and got it.
Powered by AD.
British Young Cinderella.
On 1460 KXNO. And now 106.3 FM.
Welcome to the Murph and Andy Show. Glad to have you with us here on a Thursday. Alongside Andy Fales, I'm Keith Murphy. Powered up by Andrew Downs, and time for the one at one.
The one at one.
One. One. One.
With Murph and Andy, powered by Kaburski Brothers Lawn Care.
Let's keep it simple. It's hot.
I have today's forecast for you. Hot!
It's getting hot in here. So take off all your clothes.
Why is it so hot in here?
So damn hot. Milk was a bad choice.
When the pimp's in the crib, ma, drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot.
The weather out there today is hot and s***y, with continued hot and s***y in the afternoon.
Check the Fahrenheit these days and stay hydrated. Welcome to the heat wave. Yeah, it's like a heat wave. There ain't a place where it been to these days.
Never got this hot in Brooklyn. It's like Africa hot. Tarzan couldn't take this kind of hot.
Tell me, can you feel it? Tell me, can you feel it? Tell me, do you feel it? The heat is on.
Yeah, it is. Feels like 99 in Des Moines right now, and it's going to climb. It's going to get a little hotter. It's going to get up to actual temperature of 100. Andy, that breaks the high for June 17th in Des Moines, right?
Yeah, that'll smoke it.
I think we're already past.
We're already past. Yeah, 94 was the record.
I got 97 is actual temp.
Actual temp. Feels like 99. Yeah. I mean, it is 117 in Phoenix today, but and maybe Las Vegas, too. But this is hot for Des Moines.
Yeah. Summer hasn't started, guys.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think it's this weekend.
Yeah. Summer solstice is Sunday.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Well, it feels like it started.
We did get a little rain. I mean,
we
very
did.
Little, but it was kind of nice to wake up to some thunder claps.
Yeah, it came down. I mean, usually that means that cools us off, like instantly. It did not mean that today. The southwest breeze, I guess, is just totally going to make it feel like a convection oven. Just blows hot air on our faces all day.
I picked a bad day to donate blood. I'm going to pass out.
Better yeah, that's going hydrated. On all day today.
Yeah.
Yeah, over at Valley West Mall. That is air conditioned.
Okay.
Good place to go.
I'm not going to forget this appointment either, because they have sent me like 7 reminders through email and text, which I appreciate.
Yeah, they need it.
They need it, so they're making sure. All right, let's get to the other one at one here. Sioux City native, Sioux City East High School, Shelby Houlihan, will be able to run at the Olympic trials tomorrow while she continues her appeal. She has been banned for 4 years for testing positive for an anabolic steroid, which she blames on a pork burrito that she ate in December in her hometown in Oregon. So she's going to be allowed to run. Her representatives have not said yet whether she will run, but I expect that she will run in Eugene, Oregon. And this is another layer to this story, Andy, because if she runs as expected, and she's the American record holder in the 1500 and the 5000 meters and a medal contender for Tokyo, if she does run, it's a circus there. It's a distraction. There's no question about that. And if she qualifies, as I'm sure she will, unless she hasn't been training, which we know she has been training, the third place finisher is thrown into limbo about whether she's going to Tokyo or not. Because I don't think very many track insiders expect Houlihan to win this appeal.
Yeah, and is she allowed just one appeal here? Because I know she's appealed already.
She's already lost an appeal. They don't buy her story.
But so she's given another appeal.
So they have the Court of Arbitration for Sport. They upheld Houlihan's ban That I think last week or within the last week. So this is according to NBC Sports. Typically, when athletes lose cases at the CAS, which is based in Switzerland, they appeal to that country's highest court. So the Swiss Supreme Court, I guess, or something similar to that, will now hear this case, apparently.
And I
or can, I guess, hear this
case. So while that's taking place,
she can still run. Yeah. The CEO of USA Track and Field basically said, we can resolve this later, but we can't rerun this race. So if she's able to run, we'll let her run, and then we'll let the chips fall where they
may. That makes sense, but I would assume this is the final appeal. Otherwise, you can just keep on appealing all the way through the Olympics.
I would guess so, yeah.
Yes, and she... That does make sense to let her run, because that is a good line there. We can't rerun the race, and you would just move up whoever finishes third onto the Olympic team. But I don't think anyone in track and field really expects her to win this appeal, because it's almost always when it's appealed this next level, what's just happened is upheld. And they don't buy the story. And the nandrolone that she tested positive for is like the most frequent anabolic steroid used in track and field. It's like what Marion Jones and Justin Gatlin and many others have been caught using. And all of them, I'm trying to think of an exception, I can't off the top of my head, they all have a strong story of denial to begin with, and then oftentimes it's like Marion Jones. At some point, in order to get back into the good graces of the sport sooner than you'd be allowed, or if it's a lifetime ban, which it won't be in Houlihan's cases, this is the first time she has tested positive, to get back into the sport's good graces, or just to relieve your conscience, oftentimes the person will admit that, yes, they were cycling and they got caught. The markers changed, or they didn't cycle just right. We're reminded Lance Armstrong had a couple hundred negative tests. And as it turns out, he wasn't just doping. He was doping in several different ways over more than 10 years. Houlihan strongly denies that she's doping, and her teammates back her up and her coach backed her up, and she says she's passed a lie detector test and given a hair sample. I've also heard from track and field, a track and field insider, definitely qualifies as that, says the amount of anabolic steroid, yeah, the nandrolone in her system could not have come from a pork burrito. It's just too much. But I don't know. I don't know if she's innocent or guilty. And we're reminded to, like some people, I've gotten a couple of questions. Why would a runner need to bulk up? Well, we need to be reminded that steroids,
They do all sorts of things.
Remember Ryan Braun not endurance, looking like a steroid user because he didn't look like Bonds or McGuire? Mm-hmm. Well, it's recovery.
Mm, yeah, I think that's the big one.
It's recovery. It's training harder.
Even for the weightlifters, muscles. It's allowing you to keep lifting weights without the fatigue.
Right. Or, exactly.
You know.
Yeah, it's not that the recovery makes your muscles so much quicker. Big.
Well, it does that too. It can,
right? But it also just allows you to recover more faster.
Reaction time. Pitchers are among the in baseball historically among the largest group of steroid users, and you don't usually think of a bulked up pitcher, but they live a couple more miles an hour on the fastball, recovery of arm injuries faster. There's many different reasons to use steroids, and it all gets into a real nuanced area, Andy, where all athletes are using some kinds of supplements. It's just you have to use them right up until the legal allowable amount by whatever your sport is, and then you're not supposed to take any more of those. But everybody's trying to get the maximum benefit of what they can without going over the line. And,
or even the maximum benefit of the stuff that they are allowed to use, right? That they don't have to hide. And at some point, there's a line that is drawn between what you can and can't take of even the legal stuff. But, you know, I don't know Shelby Houlihan. I don't know anything about her training regimen. I don't know enough about steroids to say, okay, these do sometimes occur in food. Mm-hmm. You know, they naturally occur. They're applied to certain types of pork or whatever to preserve them longer or to grow the pigs or...
Yeah, what was the name of Offal?
Offal, yeah, Offal. which is like a mishmash of pork guts and, you know, the head. And it's like a pork head cheese, if you know what beef head cheese is. It's disgusting. It's just a whole bunch of mixed parts.
O-F-F-E-L. It sounds like the word awful.
I think it's A-L, O-F-F-A-L, yeah. Okay, but awful. It's just the grossest thing that you could possibly eat. I mean, look at the pictures of it. I don't know. I'm almost more concerned that she's eating that than taking steroids. But, I mean, I just can't imagine anybody. That kind of stuff just doesn't look like it would be real regulated by the USDA or something. All these gross extra parts. You know, eating off a taco truck. I don't know. Maybe they do that kind of stuff all the time.
I don't think she said she ate it. I think it was like they serve it at the taco truck where she got the burrito, which, again, is like another kind of layer of distance between this stuff and what she actually ate, which, at least to me, calls into question this a little bit more.
How do you get enough of it in your system?
Also, I was talking to my wife, and you know, I would assume
that... Wait, they said she didn't even eat?
I'm pretty sure in her statement, and I'll have to go back and look.
Because she didn't order a burrito that had this on it.
Exactly.
She said she had a pork burrito.
She had a burrito and at a taco truck where they
stuff?
Also serve this. So, like, she thinks there was some contamination between...
Some cross-contamination between the...
And, well, you know, they chop it on one thing, and then they chop your burrito on this one, and it gets there. And Offal typically, though, isn't, like... people don't really eat pig kidneys or, like, livers, so it's usually not, like, the filtration things. It's usually, like... ears and snout and, you know, it's like you were saying, like the head cheese, kind of like the fat in the head. It's usually not the actual, like,
well, there's all kinds of stuff
guts.
It there's all kinds of stuff,
right,
we can put in it.
But, like, you know, like, people eat cow liver and kidney regularly. Pig, those organs in pigs are rarely eaten, even in like an Offal.
Well, not anymore. Yeah, they used to eat pork liver. Yeah, like, and they would serve it in the army to people in World War II and stuff. Jeez,
contaminated meat. You may or may not know is one of the most frequent excuses by people who test positive for steroids across cycling, boxing, MMA. It's been used in all those sports. Baseball as well. Contaminated meat is often something, and that doesn't mean it's not true. We don't know. I'm not going to sit here and pretend I know whether Shelby Houlihan was cheating and got caught. I don't know. The thing I do know is it stinks either way, because either she was cheating and it stinks, or she wasn't cheating and it stinks that she's been dragged into this public spectacle that she doesn't deserve. And
the system is bad. The system for judging who is and isn't cheating is bad.
But this is a national hot topic right now. It's not just Iowa because she's from Sioux City. It's a national hot topic, and it's one for a couple of reasons. One, you involve Nike in here, and she's on the Nike team. She's on the Bowerman team. So there are people saying, there's no way somebody would not be able to get in the trials after having her appeal lost if she wasn't on the Nike team. You have people that are pointing out that reaction to this would play out differently if it was an East German or a Russian or even a black athlete. Some people are pointing out that Houlihan is getting the benefit of the doubt that some people don't get. I don't know if that's true.
Russians and East Germans got the benefit of the
doubt? No, they didn't. They're saying that she's getting a benefit of the doubt.
Well, they shouldn't, because they were caught cheating so many times. Well,
yeah, the Russians, I think they're even in the Olympics without their own flag.
Yeah, I think that's this time, yeah.
Because the East German women had, like, beards and mustaches.
The Russian...
They're, like, unaffiliated Russian athlete or something.
Because they had... Wasn't just doping; it was like doping by the governing body.
It was the governing body that was banned. The athletes got to keep competing.
Exactly.
Crazy.
So, quickie poll from WCI Pools and Spas:
do you believe Shelby Houlihan? Yes, it was a pork burrito, or no, she got caught?
Well, I think this is probably a private vote. We just kind of want to know what people think, because to say it out loud here is to suggest either innocence or guilt, which we all have to say we don't know, because we don't know. But, I'd like to see what people think.
Yeah, there's two things. I mean, there's, like, do you believe Shelby Houlihan, or you know, what do you normally think when this excuse is run up the flagpole when an athlete is busted?
Because, I normally think guilty. I
yeah, do. Yeah. Well, and you don't know it, but you don't know the information in those cases either.
No. Nope.
But it just time and again turns out to be true. We just don't have a lot of examples of, you know, athletes who were wrongly accused.
And we've
so
seen
where are you going to believe? You know, you've been conditioned.
We've seen firm denials. We've seen Ryan Braun. We've seen Paul Merrill. We've seen Armstrong.
But why wouldn't
A Rod?
It's your career.
Yeah, it's your career, and it's a career. As her teammate Chrisha Schweitzer said, this is a career ender for her if she doesn't win the next appeal, because it's a 4-year ban, which the next Olympics is 3 years away. So. We mentioned this a couple of days ago when this broke. This is just honesty. I am not objective here. I want to believe Shelby Houlihan. Mm-hmm. Normally, though, a pork burrito excuse for an athlete known for her finishing kick, I'm going to say, oh, you got caught, because it's all there. It's an arms race. The cycling in many sports. And I don't mean bicycling. I mean cycling of the drugs versus the testing. You want to get right up to where that threshold is and not go over it and then cycle back down. That's what Lance Armstrong did for a decade. It was all about when to take the drugs, how to never spike over what the allowable limit is. Do I know? I don't know. I want to believe her because I like her. I've been proud of her. We've followed her since high school when she won 9 state championships. But the honest answer is, if you remove the name and the home state, and I hear this story, I think, pork burrito.
And you move yourself across the country, and all of a sudden you're looking this in a different way. And all these athletes have their hometown media and their, you know, friends and family that know them so well. But, you know, don't you just get the idea that this is a system? This is part of being a professional athlete at this level, in this sport. And, you know, if these drugs have permeated the sport to the point that just about everybody's using them, or more than half are using them, then how are you going to compete with that? You know, I mean, really, how are you going to stay in the sport if you're going to be clean and just about everybody else is dirty?
Murph and Andy show here on a Thursday. Glad to have you with us. Nebraska football coach Scott Frost gets put on blast by Christian McCaffrey. AD, you remember Christian McCaffrey?
No idea who you're talking about.
Frost said many kids in the transfer portal are getting bad advice and to buckle up. Now, here's what Frost said in answer to a question. I'll tell you this, it's not supposed to happen, but the ones you really want are already in the transfer portal. They already know where they're going before they put their name in the portal, which is tampering and illegal, but that's the way it's working. I agree with him. At one point, there were 1,100 kids in the portal. There's only 120-something Division I teams in the country, so there could be a lot of kids left without a seat. We've said that. Metaphorically, when the music stops. The other dangerous part is graduation rates go way down when you leave one school and transfer to another. We had one leave that's already left the next place he's going and is headed to another place. That's the biggest thing I think that's going to hurt, is kids don't get their college education because they're moving around trying to chase a situation from a football perspective that affects their life. Now,
I agree with that, too.
He's clearly talking about Luke McCaffrey here, who went from Nebraska to Louisville to Rice because he wants to start at quarterback. Then Frost says, I don't think the pendulum will swing back, though, because every kid who leaves a program thinks they're going to Nebraska or Alabama. The reality is most of them aren't. Okay.
Well, this is where we get them.
The worst or the best, right? You can go somewhere awful like Nebraska or somewhere great like Alabama.
Well, he's putting it on a tee there, but let's leave that aside for a second and read Christian.
Let's let him get away with that.
Yeah. Christian McCaffrey's tweet, which is really strong, reads, hold on. Didn't you transfer? PSA to all recruits. Take note on how a coach treats his players once they're no longer useful to him. Hashtag, come on, man. I think this is a really damaging, I mean, the respect Christian McCaffrey has across football. I think this is a really damaging.
Considered kind of a mild-mannered guy. He's talking about his brother here, but still.
Yeah, he is. But there's the main thing he's doing, because you can when you listen to what Scott Frost says, there's some truths here that most of us agree with. But where he wades into the dangerous territory is the hypocrisy, because he transferred from Stanford to Nebraska. Now, he had to sit out a year, so it wasn't the exact same circumstance. But he also bolted on all those kids at UCF and his contract.
You know what, though? I mean, that doesn't make this not true.
But it also, if you're going to point out something as being bad and you yourself have done it as both a coach and player, you got to be ready to be put on blast.
Right, and it's easy to do. That's low-hanging fruit, but that doesn't make what he's saying not true.
Some truths.
Well, yes. And I mean, it's different. I mean, he's a pro. They have a different set of rules. They're allowed to do that under their contract, and the college athletes up until this point weren't. And, you know, they are amateur athletes who are supposed, they're supposed to be student athletes that are getting an education and staying at a school. And, you know, the school part is supposed to be half of what they're doing, or at least a significant part of it. And you can't tell me that the student part is being taken care of here. I mean, that they're respecting that part of it. I mean, they're just being an athlete transferring around, and there's no way that doesn't hurt their situation as a student. And I do agree that makes it more difficult. And, you know, most of these guys are not going pro. Mm-hmm. They think they're going pro, but they're not going pro. It is their life. They can definitely do what they want with it. No problem with that. But it is not ultimately, I think there is going to be some of the pendulum coming back the other way as these players see that this stuff ultimately does not get them what they wanted. They do run out of time, and then they end up out of college, out of eligibility at least, not holding a degree and not being a pro. And they're going to say, well, you know, I really kind of, because I moved around so much, I kind of squandered my opportunity at this free education that I got with my Division I scholarship. Now, I mean, he's also being hypocritical, because he'll welcome in guys from the outside. He will add guys through the transfer portal.
Has already done it.
Yeah. If he gets a really good player, comes his way, he'll be like, yeah, absolutely, you're improving your whole situation. He'll be hypocritical there. But when it comes to his job, you know, these coaches moving around, I mean, they all do it.
They
do. It's part
of
their job. I mean, it's part of the leverage that they are allowed in this crazy situation that they have as college coaches who are highly sought after by multiple schools. They are, they have so much power that they have a contract that is essentially not even a contract. They can just break it at any time and go to another school.
Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes are on the cover of Madden 22 MVP edition. That's kind of a cool cover. We won't get into the Madden curse here. The new L.A. Bowl will be named the Jimmy Kimmel L.A. Bowl. It will be held at SoFi. Is that pronounced SoFi Stadium?
Yeah.
SoFi Stadium.
Well, why is it named the Jimmy Kimmel Bowl?
Because it's
paid for it.
Because ABC and ESPN own the.
Yeah, but why do they give it that name? They can name it anything they want.
They want to promote the Jimmy Kimmel show. So it's the Jimmy Kimmel L.A. Bowl. It's going to feature the Mountain West number one selection versus the Pac-12's number five. Debuts on December 18th. So it's been paid for to have his name on that, but that'd be pretty cool, right?
Yeah, I'll check this out. I will.
Like a Murph and Andy show bowl? That's way beyond us. But, I mean, that kind of thing is cool. We're excited when we're on the Confluence beer can.
Sure. Yeah. You like to have your name on there.
So let's get this next quickie poll here.
Of these choices, which would you rather have named after you? A bowl game, a candy bar, a beer, or a sandwich?
Like the Emenecker or many other sandwiches named after people? The Hoiberger?
I've already got the beer.
I don't know.
So yeah, you want to go.
I'll check that off my list.
You want to expand your portfolio?
I'm really tempted to just pick the sandwich here, but it's not the bowl game. I feel like we make fun of the names of bowl games too much. That's become a punchline.
And is it a little bit too
big.
Egocentric. Yeah, like yeah. That. Wouldn't you feel self-conscious? The Andy Fails Bowl continues.
Yeah, it's like the difference between getting a personalized plate and then just airbrushing your name on the side of the car.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. And
I'll
you bought
the sandwich.
It.
I like you the bought sandwich. It.
Yeah.
I like somebody going to a place and ordering the downs.
I'm going to go candy bar just because of how...
The Reggie bar?
Reggie bar and Baby Ruth. And yeah, just even though I think that was actually named after the... Wasn't it named after like the president's daughter? But yeah, people thought it was named after Babe Ruth.
Yeah. Yeah, so it kind of got a little extra oomph.
I'll go candy bar. When we come back, we'll have more including...
Deep experience.
Fairway Online Shopping. That's right. Add or coming soon to your local Fairway. You can now shop online for curbside pickup at your local Fairway. Visit shop.fairway.com to send us your order today. We can't wait.
That's all in one.
Let's play Guess Who's Birthday on the Murph and Andy Show, powered by Cellular Advantage.
Let's do it, Andy. You're up first. Guess Who's Birthday.
One of these sports yahoos took my headphones, and I'm here to reclaim them. I do like these sports shows, though, but if I ever catch the guy that took my headphones...
That is Van Harden.
Sure
is. I miss Van.
I think Van found those headsets on his final day.
He did.
I miss Van.
Yeah.
Me too.
Van, this is Van.
Van is, I had 66?
69.
Oh, boy.
So that's a miss.
Got a baby face.
Murph, guess whose birthday?
For me personally, how I deal with it was that I know every single person asking me a question can't play as well as I can and never will. So no matter what you say or what you write, you'll never light a candle to me. So that's how I deal with it. But each person deals with it differently.
There's confidence and there's arrogance, and I'm that's somewhere between the two. That's Venus Williams.
It sure is.
I feel like she might have already been 40, so I'm going to say 41.
She is 41. Oh. Well done, Andy. Guess Who's Birthday?
Today's guest is a comedian and actor who can currently be seen as Larry David's put-upon best friend on Curb Your Enthusiasm. Please welcome. Thank you for being here.
So exciting that I'm here.
Is that Patrick Mahomes?
That's Jeff Garvin.
Sure is.
He is, I'm going to say he's 62.
He's only 59, so that's a miss. Murph, guess whose birthday? I never realized how happy
you made me, oh man. That's Barry Manilow.
Sure is.
Singing Andy. Barry Manilow, man, jeez. I look at his face and...
You're lost.
His face is younger than me.
I feel like I'm at the wax museum.
Which face?
Barry Manilow is 73.
78, but you still win.
Jeez. 78? Barry Manilow is 78? Hey, does she know you raid Barry Manilow's wardrobe?
Does Barry Manilow know you raid his wardrobe?
Yeah, let's get some more. If you really want more.
Okay, more is brought to you by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. The last time we are on our way to 100 degrees, last time we reached 100 degrees was, and this surprised me this morning, it's caught me off guard. The last time we reached 100 degrees was 2017.
Really?
Yes. Wow.
I'm surprised. I thought we hit that like every year for one day or two.
Like at the fair every year.
Yeah, that's the perception, I think, is that we always do this in Iowa. We get to this point each summer. That's not true. There's, these official readings. You're not talking about a heat index. You're talking about the official temperature. You're talking about at an official temperature gauge, not using your, it's not... Steve and Urbandale using his iPhone. I mean, this is the National Weather Service, the gauge out at the airport. 2017 was the last time that we actually got as hot as we are expected to get today. Now, it could be worse. As a matter of fact, much of America is much worse. Things out in the West are brutal right now. Brutal. Starting really in Colorado, and going west from there, it has been above 115 degrees in Las Vegas and Phoenix several times already. You just said your son Cade in Phoenix is at 117.
Yeah.
And again, the summer has not actually started. at Lake Mead on the Colorado River, which supplies water for 25 million people in three southwestern states and Mexico. Water levels have plunged to their lowest point since the reservoir was filled in the 30s. In California, farmers are abandoning their thirstiest crops to save others, and communities are debating whether to ration tap water. Yes.
Texas, the power grid is iffy.
And that's had a lot of trouble with cold weather.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is. And again, it is June 17th. How much worse is it going to get? The test Iowa sites, something that we have used, leaned on, needed a lot over this past year plus, are closing. The demand has fallen at the peak. There were about 6,000 Iowans a day, more than 6,000 Iowans a day getting tested at the Test Iowa sites. It's now dropped below 400 a day. They have kind of gradually slowed these down and gradually eliminated some of the extra sites. There's only been one in Polk County here for quite a while now, over by the Firestone plant.
That's where I went, Andy, and that'll be a memory that stays with me, stands out from the pandemic, is waiting in one of those lines for the door to come up, the garage door comes up, and there's people standing there in those, you know, E.T., Climax hazmat suits there, and you pull in, the door comes down, the person comes over and puts that Q-tip all the way up into up into the brain.
That's just a garage over there, so that's not air conditioned. So they have been working over there at that site through the coldest of winter, below zero, and now they'll be over there when it's 100 degrees. So think about those people over there that have been doing that work, whether they're the National Guard members outside kind of directing traffic or the nurses and technicians inside. They have done a monumental public service.
So I don't think I thanked them enough, so no, thank you.
Yeah, I tried to thank them every time, and I went in there a lot. I was doing that every week at one point. But they will gradually shut down. Pottawatomie County, their site, that's over Council Bluffs, that'll be the first location to shut its doors. That's on June 23rd, so next week. The Polk County site here in Des Moines is scheduled to close on June 16th. The state says it plans to provide free at-home tests for Iowans once the sites have been closed. I would hope they're keeping some of that infrastructure in place should the occasion arrive where we need to open those things back up again. Who knows? DMACC is finally back online. Finally. Shut down on June 4th because of the cyber attack. They're going to make some changes. Everybody has to change their passwords. That's a no-brainer. And everybody now has to use the two-factor authentication now to log on to the school system. This is just straight from the Des Moines Register. I'm just ripping this straight out of it. A rapper, best known for facing off with Eminem in 8 Mile, isn't welcome in Iowa anymore. In the movie, Gerald Strike Sanders' character loses a rap battle with Eminem's character. In real life, Sanders has lost a legal battle with Iowa Attorney General Tom Miller. At issue is a company Sanders runs in which people go door-to-door selling products with the claim the proceeds go to charity. Accused by Miller's office of running a fraud, he agreed in a settlement. This rapper agreed in a settlement that was released yesterday to close down Iowa operations of his company, Atlanta-based Inner City Solutions. Miller's office claims Sanders sent salespeople into Des Moines neighborhoods to peddle various trinkets, falsely claiming the proceeds went to Blank Children's Hospital and the Animal Rescue League of Iowa.
I hate this kind of thing because it makes me not want to believe anybody that's on my doorstep, and I know some are legit.
Yeah, if you're scamming people like that, you have no soul. Sanders played the wannabe rapper Lickety Split in 8 Mile and got this in 8 Mile and got this from Eminem, a.k.a. Rabbit.
This guy raps like his parents jerking. He sounds like Eric Sermon, the generic version. This whole crowd looks suspicious. It's all dudes in here, except for these bitches.
What y'all I'm a German, eh? That's okay. You look like a worm with braids. These leaders are the free world rookies. Looking, pocket six dicks be talking about Greek. Bitch, you could be a piss creek with paddles. This deep is still gonna sink. You're a disgrace. Yeah, they call me rabbit. This is a turtle race. You can't get with me spitting this wickedly lickety shot. The spidges triggity split lickety. So now I turn around with a great smile and walk my white ass back across 8 miles.
It's a good movie.
And so he knocks off Lickety there, and then he takes out Lotto.
Yep.
And then he has just the...
Just crushes the Papa Doc.
Papa Doc climax. Papa Doc doesn't even, respond. Yeah, what a great scene that is. Great movie. Planet Fitness's annual study once again finds that the dad bod is in.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Everybody can celebrate here. With 69% of women saying they find a dad bod attractive.
Really? 69%?
Don't get too excited. You guys are skinny. You guys don't have dad bods.
Well, yeah. All right. 59% of women say they prefer a man with a dad bod to someone who's really muscular. I want to believe that this is the most accurate, scientifically gathered survey ever.
Yeah, this is like me clinging to that occasional poll you'll see that 62% of women find male pattern baldness sexy.
Because they know
you're the
like,
virility.
Who took the survey? Because Planet Fitness kind of markets itself on a place for people who are not in great shape to go.
Yeah. Who did this? Baldness Illustrated.
Yeah, right. 50% of men admit they feel judged by others for their bodies, an increase of 10% last year. Well, because everybody got 10% fatter over the last year. 48% of women and 44% of men say dad bods are the new six pack. Give me a break. This thing is going south quickly. So what do gals like about a dad bod?
Oh, here we go.
65% of women and 50% of men say the dad bod is sexy. 80% say a dad bod represents a man who is confident in their own skin.
I can believe that.
That sounds like the guy with the dad bod wrote that, though.
It does.
It sounds to me...
Oh, what? I'm confident in my own skin.
At best, this is like the women feel like, he's not going to be able to pull anybody better than me.
Exactly. That's a big part of this, for sure.
In addition, men with dad bods are looked at as good husbands.
Damn right.
Supportive, caring, and providers.
Providers. Yeah.
The dad bod, there's a dad bod chart that you can look at to tell whether or not you got a dad bod.
AD's got a hanging up in his office.
I do.
I am at the very low corner of dad bod city. I'm not quite heavy enough to be in dad bod land.
See, I'm on the opposite end of the scale. I'm still in dad bod land, but... I'm just holding on.
It is a scale.
If this pandemic went 6 more months, I'd be off.
It's a scale that celebrates BMI. But
you're saying you can scale out of the dad bod?
Oh yeah,
like the other like
yeah. Then you're too fat. Yeah, yeah. It's got too. It's a sweet spot. It's too thin.
Okay, I guess I don't completely understand this dad bod.
Like most of the husbands on sitcoms with a hot wife, they don't have dad bods. They're just fat.
Now,
like a guy with a big belly isn't a dad bod.
I'm going to assume that all of these dad bod guys are fully accepting of a wife or girlfriend who does not have a perfect body.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, men think women are sexier when they're 20 pounds overweight.
Well, yeah, they're overweight and saggy and pale and all that stuff. They're good.
The stretch marks show that
they expect to have a woman who is on par with them, not better than them. Right? No better.
Of course.
If the men are saying that dad bods are sexy, then they are really understanding of a woman who also doesn't work out, take care of herself. Like the guy that got the dad bod. Speaking of dads, a disappointed dad has slammed a Karen who lodged a complaint with his homeowners association, which made him tear down a treehouse that he built for his sons. There's a picture, you can see this on Twitter. It's on Instagram, actually. He's put it, he's laminated this letter, put it in one of those, you know, protective plastic sleeves, and nailed it to the tree next to the treehouse.
She made him take down a treehouse?
I don't know that it's necessarily, they even know it's a woman or a Karen. He's just, okay. This is, I'm reading the story.
And I do want to see the treehouse, because I could see.
It's a nice treehouse.
Okay, I was going to say, if it's like a terrible eyesore, like something that looks like I built it, then maybe it does do some damage to the neighborhood.
It's on a, it looks like it might maybe an ash tree that they cut off about, you know, 8 feet above the ground, so it's like a really tall stump, and then he built a treehouse on top of it.
I think that adds to the value of the neighborhood. A good treehouse is awesome.
Yeah, I agree. I think it looks really nice. He says, on the letter he wrote, "Don't worry, you're safe now. Your act of casual cruelty was successful." The irate parent, who signed his name Dave, wrote in a plastic-covered note that he'd pinned to a tree, "The complaint you lodged with the HOA, Homeowners Association, was heard. They made me take down the small tree fort that I had built on this location with my sons during the pandemic," he wrote. "No longer will its presence offend your walk past my house. Please enjoy your stroll free from the sound of my children's play and laughter. They are safely back inside now, watching television, I'm sure. Enjoy the unobstructed view of my backyard. I will try to keep it up to code." And he posted this all to Reddit, where he, of course, got plenty of support.
Yeah, he spiked the football with the kids who are now inside watching TV.
Yeah, I just, some of those HOAs have crazy rules, too.
Yeah, and they probably are following the letter of their rules here, but nobody thinks a treehouse that kids can play in that's not an eyesore is bad for a neighborhood. No reasonable person.
Well, and then somebody else posted on Reddit. I thought this was really funny. They said, okay, FYI, these homeowners association meetings, well, they'll take a vote on rules and rule changes. And they typically have about 8 people show up at these movies.
Sure.
So this person went with 4 other people and just like ran the table all night and changed all these rules by outvoting everybody else. So they came in and just knocked down all these really strict policies. We'll end with this. 2 passengers about to take off on a flight from San Francisco bound for Las Vegas were removed over an argument about elbow placement on armrests, according to a report. SFGate.com reported the incident occurred on a United Airlines flight that was forced to return to the gate right after takeoff. The website pointed to a Google employee on the flight who posted a photo of law enforcement officers on the plane. Now, the 2 men were not identified and were briefly detained and then released after neither were interested in taking any further action. The report said the report did point out that they were not able to stay on the plane for the flight.
Now, I have always accepted the middle seat gets both armrests because they're in the bad seat. The person in the window seat gets the left armrest. The person in the aisle seat gets the right armrest. Is that what you think or no?
I don't know that I've ever thought about it that much, but if there's somebody else that really wants an armrest, I'm fine just giving them.
Yeah, I've never needed an armrest.
Yeah, not that badly.
Not with that dad bod. When we come back.
It's time for Throwdown on the Murph and Andy Show.
Let's throw it down, Murph. The NBA is wide open. It's really fun to watch right now. In the East, you got the Hawks leading the Sixers, the Bucks leading the Nets. In the West, the Suns await the winner between the Jazz and Clippers. What is the best possible NBA Finals matchup?
Oh, I don't think there's any that become must-watch TV for me, but I think if I could pick, and this will not be a popular answer, I don't think, it would be the Hawks and Suns. I'd like to see Trae Young and Devin Booker go at it. The confidence these two have, the level of talent they have, I just think it would be a fun finals. We'll see if the Suns can get there if Chris Paul gets out of the COVID-19 protocol. By the way, you see that notice from the NBA yesterday. 326 players have tested. 1 was positive. Oh, I wonder who the 1 is.
It's the Suns in the West.
The Sun does set in the West, yes.
I mean, they're the team that I'd be at this point the most interested in seeing in the West. I really don't care about the other teams. But in the East, it's been disappointing because I wanted the Sixers and the Bucks to do well. I would like to see one of those teams do well. I don't care about the Nets and the Super Team, and the Hawks do nothing for me. And it's been disappointing for me because I've seen the Bucks and the Sixers keep blowing these huge leads, just getting embarrassed, really embarrassing games in the playoffs. And I feel bad for their long-starved fans. But I would take one of those teams. I think the Bucks and the Suns, I think I would like to see the most. I mean, Giannis, I hate seeing a player that great not, you know, have him just have this grudge held against him by the rest of the NBA for not making it farther in the playoffs.
All right, we don't have time for another question. We do have time for this. Fireworks from the Iowa Fireworks Farm called 284-5966 right now.
All right, man.
And the poll's up on Twitter for throwdowns.
I hope just setting off that sound, you didn't start a fire. What's the temperature right now, Andy?
I'd have gone up to 99. So we're right there.
We're over 100 with the feels like temperature. Gotta be.
I'm sure.
Oh, man. Record high today. First time in, we're going to hit 100 for the first time in 4 years. Hour two coming up.